Welcome to the 356th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. Stay tuned for my interview with V. Castro, author of the novels Maria the Wanted and The Legacy of the Keepers, Hairspray and Switchblades, and other works of horror fiction. Stay tuned for my interview. The Reading and Writing Podcast is brought to you by Libro FM. Libro.fm lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. You can pick from more than 185,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there, but you'll be part of a different story. One that supports your local community and your local bookstore. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. You can listen during your commute, while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro.fm app. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. Here's your special offer from the Reading and Writing Podcast. Get two audiobooks for the price of one today with your first month of membership with the code RWPODCAST at checkout. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the U.S., check out Libro.fm today. Well, welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is V. Castro, author of the novella Hairspray and Switchblades, the short story collection Rigor Morbid, Less You Become. And Castro also has a story in the recent short story collection Lockdown, Stories of Crime, Terror, and Hope During a Pandemic. Violet, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about Hairspray and Switchblades yet, how would you describe the novella?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm Mexican-American, so it basically takes the werewolf trope and, I kind of make it my own within my culture. So, for example, the sisters come from a line of shifters, but they're jaguars, and it's set in Texas. Which is my home state. I just wanted to create a unique world and a unique experience for the whole werewolf trope. I think that's what
Great.
People expect, yeah.
Well, do you remember the original idea that led you to write Hairspray and Switchblades?
Yes, actually. It was a short story that was accepted to an anthology, which hasn't come out yet. I don't know if it's going to be released. I hope so. And I just really fell in love with the concept. The character in the short story is a character in the book, but she's not the main character. And so I just went with that. I just went with the whole kind of universe that I created, that world, and just expanded it a bit.
Great. Well, you mentioned earlier at the outset that you're Mexican-American, and that shows up in terms of the ideas for Hairspray and Switchblades. I'm just curious, how has your culture and your upbringing impacted your stories, which tend to be, crime or horror, to be negative, but some of those anthologies aren't always the most diverse. I'm just curious how that shows up for you and what you think about it.
You know what? It's you brought up a really good point about that a lot of anthologies and certain publishers are not inclusive, and for me that's a real issue, and for people of color and women in general. So it definitely it makes me want to do more. It makes me want to really speak out and talk about my experiences. So it shapes everything. It shapes the tales I want to tell. So, for example, going into Mexican folklore and urban legend, there are stories culturally that I think need to be told and experiences that need to be told. And I think it's what makes my writing unique and my storytelling unique. And it's a huge driver for me.
Sure. Well, were there ever any books or stories along the way that helped you see how you could use your culture in these stories that you're writing?
You know what? I grew up watching horror, a lot of horror, and, you know, scary stories to tell in the dark. Everybody's kind of, you know, childhood memory and horror. They've all grew up on that. And Stephen King and, you know, Lost Boys. And, you know, I took it in because that's all there was. But, you know, you get older, you live life. And I just think, like, wow, what if you took that story, that trope that's usually predominantly white, and made it something different? And instead of, you know, a demon, what about a god from the Aztec mythology? What about, or, you know, my ancestors were pagans. They had their own beliefs and rituals. And what if those characters were included? So I always think about that. And it just kind of, I don't know, I just, it just comes out of my head. Sure. So, you know, I just announced today in spring, have a, from Creature Publishing, a story, Goddess of Filth. And again, I use, there's an Aztec goddess. And Flame Tree Press, I have another book coming out next year. And again, I dig into Mexican history and Mexican-American history, you know, farm workers' rights, that whole change that happened during also the civil rights movement. You know, there's a lot of stories that, you know, my ancestors and my family experienced. My great-grandparents were migrant workers. They worked the field. So I wanted to bring that into the story because it is a part of American history and a part of a lot of people's lives. So, but you don't really read about it a lot.
So what has the reception been to your stories thus
far?
Yeah,
pretty good. I have a story in Worst Laid Plans, which is an anthology that just came out from Grindhouse Press, and it's called The Kukui of Cancun. And a lot of people like it because I take the point of view is from the Kukui, the creature who, you know, Mexico is her habitat, her homeland, and you have a bunch of spring breakers coming in, and, you know, they have all these stereotypes about Mexicans and Mexico, and I just kind of wanted to address that. And so a lot of people, they're like, wow, this is different, this is cool. Once again, culturally, there's so many different creatures and beliefs and ideas that just are not touched. And I think that's a shame because there are a lot of cool stories.
Sure. Well, what are your earliest memories of reading in books?
Oh, I mean, early was like the Berenstain Bears, Amelia Bedelia. I think, you know, the typical. And then when it came to, you know, horror, it was the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And I watched a lot of then plus all of the books you have to read in school that are required reading. So I read a lot of really the usual, what most people read, because also there aren't a lot of, well, back in the day, there's so many more now, there weren't as many middle grade and YA Latino writers. There were not a lot of Latinx authors kind of, you know, getting those big book deals, and you just didn't have it in the libraries or school libraries. It wasn't being taught. So I basically grew up with a lot of books written by white folks, the ones everyone else read. And those are my early memories of books. It wasn't until I was older that I could read stuff like Sandra Cisneros and Rudolfo Anaya, but that's all adult literature. So that was high school. So the earliest, yeah. You know, things have changed, though, like for my children. You know, there are so many more Latinas in their, you know, writing middle grade picture books and YA compared to when I was younger.
And so what was your path to publication for writing and getting your first short stories published? What was that kind of driver for you? When did you decide that you wanted to write and then actually submit some of your stories?
I am a mother of three children, and I've always been interested in horror and writing and storytelling, but I just never, I don't know, I just didn't have the confidence. And like they say, if you don't really see it can be done, it's hard to believe you can do it. You know, you think, oh, well, that's, you know.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's someone else's game. I'll never do it. But I just decided to go for it. And, you know, you write those few stories and you get a lot of rejections, but then you get better and better and you start also, interacting with other people in the horror community and you make a lot of really good friends. And you just keep writing. You read their other people's works and you, it's just practice and submitting and trying to take rejection, you know, as it comes. It's not easy. Believe me, I've had like really, really low points where I just wanted to give up. But you have to kind of have grit and dig deep and just keep going. And that would be my best advice for any new writers is just, you know, keep going. Put blinders on, especially with social media. It's really hard not to compare. It's really hard not to feel bad about yourself when you're seeing other people's journeys. You know, I even still, you know, I'm happy for everyone that, but you do end up thinking sometimes like, oh God, you know, what am I doing wrong? I'm not there yet. I can't seem to get there. But everybody's journey is different. You just have to keep going.
So as you worked on getting your first stories published, were there any specific writing challenges that you had to overcome or figure out with those stories, characterization, plotting, or dialogue?
You know what? I am a total just, I know I'm like the worst person to give writing advice. Like I could never teach a writing course at all. I'm literally one of these people that gets an idea in her head while she's doing the school run, or I see something or I hear a song. And I just sit down and I just write it out. I write as much as I can. I empty my brain. I empty everything inside of me. Plus, you know, a lot of my emotions, things I struggle with, my past. I take all of that. I throw it onto the computer and then something kind of happens. And usually I let it simmer and wait. Then I go back and then it just formulates. I really don't outline. I don't do any of that. I just sit down and I just let it come out of me. I just go for it. So I write the stories and then I go and I see, okay, well, where can this go? Horror Tree is a great resource. Twitter is a great resource for submission calls. Gwendolyn Keast does like a roundup of submissions and sometimes you see calls and they're like, oh, we want stories about piranhas. And you're like, oh, I think I can write a piranha story. And then you just sit down and you think of a piranha story and then you submit it if you can get it in on time. You know, because there's a lot of times I just miss submission calls because the story isn't happening or you and.
So the person that you just mentioned, Gwendolyn, the person you just mentioned, Gwendolyn, is that on Twitter or where is
that? Yeah, Gwendolyn Keith. You can find her on Twitter. She has a blog. She's on. Yeah, I don't know if she's on Instagram. She might be on Facebook, but mostly Twitter. You know, she's a fantastic writer. She's a Bram Stoker award-winning author. She's great. So you can always go to her blog and look at the roundup and also Horror Tree.
Great. Well, do you show your short stories to anyone before you hit the button to submit them? Or have you ever worked with any critique groups?
I've never worked with critique groups just because I don't have time. I have sent short stories to other authors for advice or just like to give it a look over. Or when I have time, or two, I just remember to do it because sometimes I work like to the wire. And if it's something I really, really want, then I will because – you know, you want those extra eyes, but sometimes I don't. So, but it is helpful. It is helpful if you can have someone look at it, but you also need to give it enough time because you can't just expect someone to, you know, other people have lives and their families and work. So you need to give them enough time to read it in their own time.
Sure. I wonder if you use any tips or tricks for yourself if you have an idea for a story and you sit down and it's not going the way that you would like it to, or do you just kind of tune all that out and just kind of throw it out on the page, as you said earlier?
Yeah, I typically throw it out on the page. If it's not working or I've hit a wall, typically what I do is I just leave it in the folder and I let it go for like however long I need to. I move on to other projects, and then occasionally when I have some downtime, I will go into my folder of short stories and I go straight down the line of the ones I know are unfinished and I reread them. And if you give it enough time, you're seeing it with fresh eyes and you get a new idea, and it just kind of, and that's typically how I finish my stories.
So do you have favorite horror writers at this point that inspire you, or either crime writers?
You know what? I really say all the women writing horror today are amazing. I think, you know, they're smart, they're resilient, they're supportive, all of them. I'm really behind on my reading because I've had a lot of editing and deadlines to make. So, and then with, you know, lockdown, I've had my children. So it's kind of like, you know, they see you with a computer or a, God forbid, the Kindle. It's like, nope, it's time to ask for something. So it's been a challenge. But I have to say, women in horror right now, they're really, really just kicking ass. They're doing amazing. And same with crime.
Great. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed and that you would mention?
Oh, God. What was the last? So I read Sonora Taylor's Seeing Things, and that just came out, and that was really good. And it came out not too long ago, and I did a blurb for it, and it's just like nice mystery, horror, supernatural. It's yeah, I liked it. It really is. It's creepy. I will mention, so Sonora and I started a website for women in horror called Fright Girl Summer. And there's about 15 stories on there. And they are all amazing. All these women, if you go to frightgirlsummer.com, all these short stories are fabulous. I mean, you have women from all different parts of the world, from all different walks of life. All these short stories, that's what I've mainly been reading, are short stories for Fright Girl Summer. And those are fantastic. So, I mean, you should go on there and read those if you get a chance. But Seeing Things by Sonora was the last one. Yeah.
Great. Well, what are you working on now?
I am polishing stories for deadlines. So that's what I'm doing. So I have two that need to go to Flame Tree Press for my short story collection. The collection's complete except for these two stories. Those two need to go in. And then I am polishing a story to submit tomorrow. And then I will probably jump into a novel and three stories I've been asked to write, short stories for anthologies.
Great. Well, what's up?
Busy.
Yes.
It's good. Very.
So how has the pandemic impacted your writing?
Again, you know, when you are a parent and your kids are at home, it's very challenging because, you know, you have food to prepare for them. They want to be entertained. There was the homeschooling. That is basically just not having as much time in the day where you can just sit down and write for like a solid few hours. So I've had to really chop it up and just whenever I can get stuff done. That's the main thing that's changed with regards to the writing.
Great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your stories and novels?
Yeah, I'm at V Latina London, all one word, V Latina London on Instagram and Twitter. I have my website, vvcastro.com, and then we have Fright Girl Summer, where women in horror, women in general who want to submit anything horror, or dark fiction even, can submit stories, essays, artwork. It's all to support women, you know, in publishing. So you can go there as well. But yeah, that's how you can find me.
Great. Well, again, we've been speaking with V. Castro, author of the new novella Hairspray and Switchblades. The novella is available now, so go buy a copy. And V, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much, Jeff, and have a great day and a great week. Thank you.
Great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.